I've been working in shipping for quite some time, driving through dark, sketchy roads and stopping in the middle of nowhere to check tires had become my usual. On one side of the highway, I often witnessed the Canadian Rockies, standing like towering giants. I'd driven this stretch 100 times before, but that night seemed weird. It felt too quiet, like the road ahead held a bad omen. I passed a small town whose name I had forgotten, with my caffeine-dead mind and bladder full. I had missed the last rest stop altogether, oblivious that I was not using the last mile marker. And I couldn't wait another 30 miles, so I pulled over. Opening the door, I stepped out and took a long stretch. My back was killing me. I walked to the tree line to release myself. The black silhouettes of pine trees were moving in the cool wind. They were so dense that pitch black rested in the backdrop. Once done, I reached into my pocket and grabbed a cigarette. I lit it and took a couple of slow drags to calm down. As I stood there, my eyes slowly adjusted to the darkness surrounding me. I saw a sudden shift in movement behind the trees. At first, I thought it was a deer. The way it sprinted through the trees felt odd. I'd never seen a deer move like that before. Another figure slowly started to emerge from the darkness. A man, seemingly in his 30s, maybe older. He was tall, dressed in jeans and a hooded jacket, but it was hard to tell. The darkness was playing tricks on my eyes, making his movements strange and jerky. My gut twisted. There wasn't another soul on this highway. No parked cars and no cabins nearby. Just me, my medium-duty truck, and now him. I kept it casual, crushed my cigarette under my boot, and calmly walked back to the truck. I got in and locked the doors. I put it in drive, foot hovering over the gas. But for some reason, I didn't peel out. I just watched him. He continued walking, one step at a time. He never increased his pace or slowed down. His hood obscured his face, yet his eyes remained fixated on me. His gaze could pierce your soul. He reached the passenger window and stopped. Lifting his bony hand, he knocked on the glass. My body jerked involuntarily. He brought his pale, skinny face closer to the window. I noticed his hollow cheeks and sleepless eyes. His lips were badly cracked, like he hadn't had a drink in days. I didn't want to, but I rolled down the window an inch. "What's up, man?" I asked in a firm voice, gripping the wheel. He let out a deep, raspy breath and replied,
"I need you to call the cops."
I took a good look at him, trying to find possible signs of an injury to determine if he needed help or not. I couldn't see a single scratch on him. Confusedly, I asked, "Is everything all right?" He lifted his hand and started scratching his head with a knife. His eyeballs moved randomly, like he didn't know what to do with the weapon. The sharp blade of the knife glinted in the moonlight.
I came out here to kill myself," he said in a low, shaking voice. "Walked from town, but when I was about to do it, I saw their faces. My daughters. I couldn't go through with it."
For a long second, neither of us spoke. The only sound was the faint clicking of my hazard lights. I called the cops and made sure to stay in my car, watching him constantly until they arrived. He didn't move. He just stood there, quietly crying. Tears streamed down that dead-eyed face as if they didn't even belong to him. I told him gently to leave the knife on the ground before the cops arrived. He stared at me like he didn't understand, then slowly crouched and placed the blade on the gravel. When the red and blue lights of the cop cars finally flashed in my rearview mirror, I felt relieved. They cuffed him, patted him down, and asked me a few questions. Before they drove off with the man, I walked to his door to have a few last words with him. I wasn't scared anymore. "Hey," I said, meeting his eyes one last time. "It's not over. You hear me? You walked out of those woods alive. Don't waste that. Live for your girls." He didn't say anything. He just gave a slight, barely noticeable nod. Then they took him away. It's been years since that night, but sometimes when I'm driving these empty roads, I see him again, standing by the tree line.
watching, waiting. And I wonder, did he make it? Or is part of him still out there, lost in the dark? Either way, I don't stop to piss on the side of the road anymore. This happened last week. I was driving down the empty highway for almost 4 hours. I needed to deliver some machine parts for a construction company in Utah. It rained for the first few miles, which compelled me to drive slowly. Upon reaching the dusty road, I was exhausted. Thunder rumbled in the sky, and I decided it would be best to stop for the night and begin after sunrise. I parked the truck under a tree and finished the cold turkey sandwich made by my wife. It tasted like her hugs. I rolled down the window to take a good look at my surroundings. It wasn't raining, but a cold, gushing wind was howling into the darkness of the night. Closing the window curtains, I reclined the seat and used my jacket like a blanket to fall asleep. After about an hour, I heard the door handle jiggle. It came from the driver's side. It sounded like metal against metal. The sound was subtle and almost polite, like whoever was out there was checking to see if maybe they could just let themselves in. I sat straight up. You know that feeling when you're deeply asleep but you hear an unfamiliar sound and you immediately open your eyes, trying to figure out whether what you heard is real or not? That one. So far, no cars passed by. There had not even been the crunch of tires. I took my time to pop back up. I tiptoed to the edge of the curtain and peeked out from the corner, but I saw nothing outside. All I saw were empty roads and trees. Suddenly, I heard a click on the passenger door handle. I crouched down, popping my face up to the top of the curtain once again, but there was no one. A cold shiver ran down my spine. I pressed the starter. The engine roared to life, and the lights illuminated the way. Spotlights, floodlights, everything worked. The high beams showed the long, stretched road ahead, and it was empty. No person was hiding next to my door, and no car was behind me. I told myself it was the wind. Hell, it must have been gusty. Maybe the friction had caused some tumbleweed to bounce against my truck. That's what I told myself. I rolled over to return to sleep, but sleep wasn't coming easily now. My ears sharpened. I could hear every creak of my truck frame, every rustling of the wind outside, as my mind twisted them into footsteps. Suddenly, the vents started rattling. You know those little panel vents next to the sleeper berth? The ones that no one pays any mind to? Well, it sounded like fingers were prying at the other side. Someone was scraping on them, slowly. The door handles rattled once more, but this time with great intensity. I was starting to get scared now because this wasn't just the work of one person. It has to be a group of them. Once the rattling stopped, someone started punching on the metal body of the truck. It felt as though a weight was pressing down in an unexpected place. Someone or something was crawling onto my truck from the back because I couldn't see anyone on the windshield. I hit the panic button back in the sleeper. The truck alarm started going off. The alarm was loud enough to rouse the dead. I thought for sure that'd send them scurrying, but it didn't. The noises continued, tapping, scraping. The alarm synchronized with the clicking of the handles. The air suspension hissed as if the truck sighed under a heavy load. The glass of the windshield cracked from the corner because something was paddling footfalls across the roof. I didn't dare to come out. I was terrified for my life. I don't exactly remember how long this chaos sustained, but it stopped all of a sudden. The alarm blared for a few more seconds, and everything went silent. It felt as though the world had regained its clarity. For a few long minutes, the only thing I could hear was my own ragged breathing and racing heartbeat. A few minutes later, headlights sliced into the road. Another truck drove past me, and I felt alive again. I remained awake throughout the night, tightly gripping a tire iron as if my survival relied on it. As soon as the sunlight hit the trees, I jumped out of the truck, still clutching the tire iron. I looked for footprints and tire tracks, and to my shock, there were dragging bloodstains all over the truck. It appeared as though hordes of hungry zombies had scavenged across the truck, their wounds exposed. And on every window, driver's side, passenger side, even way up on the sleeper's little portholes, were tiny handprints, like a toddler's. It seemed as if someone had licked their palms multiple times and pressed them against the glass. There weren't any tracks leading to or from the truck, only the tiny, sticky handprints clung to the glass, and the truck's body was covered in bloodstains. I had to clean the truck before driving off because if a cop car spotted me, they would have charged me with murder. I still don't know what happened and who did all that to my truck that night. I'm just glad to make it out alive. I've been driving on Mississippi roads longer than I'm willing to admit. Flat farmland, two-lane highways that seem to stretch on forever. The quiet and emptiness gradually become familiar to you. But that night, somewhere in between Clarksdale and Greenwood, I fully understood that not all spaces are lonely. I was driving for 14 hours straight. Repeated doses of caffeine and smoking were keeping me awake. The weather had turned ugly fast. There were high wind advisories, tornado watches, and unexpected storms in the Delta. I had called my wife before leaving Clarksdale and told her to expect another call as soon as I was out of the danger zone. But 30 miles out, the hailstorm took over. The hailstorm began with small pebbles, which gradually grew in size and bounced off the hood and windshield with a sharp metallic crack. Any Mississippi boy knows summer begins with hail. I slowed down. I eased off onto the gravel shoulder. There were no cars in my wake or in front of me. It was just me and my pickup, with nothing but black farmland in every direction. I cut the engine but left the lights on. I rolled down the passenger window and retrieved my flashlight. I threw it out into the fields, and as far as my eyes went, all I could see was rippling corn and distant flashes of lightning. I leaned over to check the driver's side when I saw this man. He was standing right there, pressing his face against the glass. His eyes were so still that it felt like I was staring into two vacant pits. He observed me for a brief moment before beaming a broad smile. The wilderness of his smile exposed his crooked yellow teeth. I screamed, "What the hell do you want?" He said something, but I couldn't hear it due to the closed window and hailstorm outside. He kept watching me with no fear of the storm or lightning. Suddenly, a big piece of hail hit him. Blood sprinkled on my glass as a deep wound appeared on his forehead, yet he still didn't move. That's when I realized this person is not normal. Something's very wrong with him. I started the engine, gripping the steering wheel. I blinked, and he vanished from sight, as if he had never existed. He vanished into the darkness, leaving no sound or shadow behind. I didn't stay to find out where he went. The truck roared back to life, and as I skidded onto the highway, the tires threw gravel. The hail still drummed on, but I didn't care. I drove fast. I didn't look left, right, or in my mirrors. I just looked at the road. I focused on the road that was in front of me. By the time I reached the first gas station, the storm had already passed. I parked with my hand still shaking. My wife would be waiting for my phone call, so I called her back. I assured her that I was safe and maintained my composure. I didn't mention the man. I didn't mention the smile. But my mind would not let me forget. You see, our trucks have cameras. Our trucks are constantly recording from the front, rear, and interior of the cabin. I popped the SD card right there and slid it into my tablet. I had to know if that face was real or just my imagination. I watched the recording. I recorded every second from the time I left the road until I departed, but there was no sign of the man. There was only the road in the rain. The camera never saw him. I told myself it was stress. The combination of 14-hour shifts, unfavorable weather conditions, and my own delusions were to blame. The Delta can do that to you at night. The vast expanse of open space was so dimly lit that it felt like drowning. Maybe it was all in my head. Until I wiped the fog off the side of that window, I found something, and it was faint, but I did spot it. It was a smear, a wide, greasy arc right where the grin had been. Since then, I haven't driven the Delta roads at night. If you've driven those long, empty stretches before, you know the feeling. It feels as though a presence is observing you from the edge of the cornfields amidst the storm. It seemed as though it was waiting for you to slow down, roll down your window, and take a closer look. I don't know what I saw out there, but I'll never forget those teeth.
Gulu